Hey y'all, I want to take a look at Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put into prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed the adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was said also, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." Well, this section is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' masterclass in life. It answers all of the big questions that everybody has always asked, whether explicitly or implicitly throughout history. What is a good life? Who is a good person? Who is God? And Jesus' overall answer to what the good life is it's a life lived in the kingdom of God. Immediately before this, Jesus has said, if your righteousness does not exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so he opens up this section where he illustrates now through the question of murder and the question of adultery, what it looks like to have a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. Keep in mind, Jesus says repeatedly, "I have not come to do away with the law." Sometimes I think as Christians, we think that Jesus came to overturn the law, to get rid of the law. But the actual fact is that Jesus came to help us fulfill the law. That does not mean we live out the details of the letter of the Old Testament law. But it does mean that the sort of space that the law outlined, we live in the fullness of, or all of the things that the law were suggesting and hinting and pointing at, through the grace of God, we can live them out and fulfill them. So Jesus is trying to teach us how to fulfill the law and how he gives us grace to fulfill the law. And in this section on murder and on adultery, he basically does three things. One, he gives us the traditional teaching. That is, maybe it's an Old Testament commandment. Sometimes with that traditional teaching, he gives a contemporary interpretation or the way people in his day interpreted it. But then he goes on to describe the vicious cycles that lead to the sin. Because after all, many people make it through life not murdering, but not many people make it through life with good relationships or with hearts that are at peace and wishing the good of those around them. And so he describes this vicious cycle that can lead to the sin of murder. And then finally, he gives us practices that I think are meant to break the cycle. There's things that we can do that will, at least for us and maybe for the other person, break the cycle that leads into sin. Whether it's adultery or murder or whatever it may be. So let's just look at murder as a quick example. He says, he quotes the traditional teaching, "You have heard that it was said of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to the judgment.'" But then he goes on to describe the state of anger. And I think it's important to note that Jesus is not simply saying, "Hey guys, don't be angry." He's addressing where actions come from, and where actions come from is the heart. And it's not as though we're talking about the heart is important in exclusion to the way we act. Jesus is saying the way we act, the way we behave, the things we do come from the things that we've thought and the things that we've nurtured in our thoughts. And so he describes this cycle that goes on in people's hearts that leads to this sin. And there's a kind of a progression, and it might start in being angry at somebody, and then it might progress to resenting somebody. And then as it goes along, we might have contempt for a person, and that could ultimately lead to a place of malice where we actually wish bad for that person. The fact of the matter is that many people throughout history, maybe increasingly in our day, go around with a fresh supply of anger. You know, the Hulk or Bruce Banner says, "I'm always angry." Well, a lot of people carry around a record of the wrongs that have been done to them, the people that they don't like, and the reasons they don't like. And so Jesus is trying to address this and say, guys, there's things that lead to that. You don't just go from 0 to 60. You don't just go from nothing to murder. Let's look at the activities of the heart that lead to that place and stop them at the root. Stop them at the beginning. It's not just keep bad apples from growing on a bad apple tree. It's let's get a whole new kind of a tree. So then he gives us suggestions for what we might do, activities that we might partake of that, by God's grace, allow us to participate in kingdom direction, in kingdom flow, in kingdom activity. He says, if you remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and go be reconciled to your brother. He doesn't say feel a certain way. You don't have to feel a particular way, but you can exercise your will in cooperation with the grace and activity of God and go and give yourself to something that hopefully will bring about some kind of peace with the person involved. It certainly will require humility, right? It might require you relinquishing rights. It might require you relinquishing, you know, saving face. But the bottom line is, it is something you can do, and it's not impossible. And after all, it is energized by the grace and the activity of God. And so this is the sort of thing that Jesus is trying to do with regard to adultery, with regard to murder. He's trying to help us see the activities of our heart that lead to it and show us activities that we can give ourselves to that hopefully will put a stop to it. So ultimately, we have to get back to questions like this. What is the state of my heart toward a person? If I have a difficult relationship with someone, what is the state of my heart towards them? And what might I need to address in my heart and in my thoughts toward that person? What are the patterns of resentment, the cycles, the vicious cycle of hurt feelings and resentment that I allow to go on in my heart? I'm going to have to get off of that train. I'm going to have to get off of that merry-go-round if I'm going to give myself. And then the other question becomes, what are the activities that I have responsibility and ability through the grace of God to initiate that will maybe break that cycle, maybe bring peace? And here's the big question, am I willing to undertake it? I would suggest that Jesus was. He was willing to do what he didn't have to do, to leave heaven, to bring peace between us. And so may we be like our Lord who said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Amen.